1202. Now, I had a conversation with two fellas I met this week. One fella that I knew, one fella I didn't know. And the fella I didn't know started to explain to me how his wife had recently left him for somebody else. And just how it had left him in just financial difficulties and had left him in emotional difficulties. And he was really, really struggling. The other fella who I do know has a family and stuff, and he just in everyday life struggles. Last weekend, a young man from town went out to Inchabay and took his own life. In Belfast, another young man last weekend took his own life, the third of three brothers, three children, and he was the third one to take his life. No children left. And what I'm saying to you is that when I'm out and about in the world, what I see is that there are people out there who have no hope. No hope. They have no idea why they're here, what life's all about, what the purpose of it all is. And the people that I meet out there who aren't at the bottom, who are just living out normal lives, are looking for meaning everywhere that they are. They're looking for it in their job and their career. Maybe this is going to give me meaning. This is maybe why I'm here. It's for this career, for this job. It's maybe my family. My family are my meaning. That's the reason why I'm here. Maybe it's drugs, and they think, well, maybe I'll find some meaning here. Alcohol, sex, partying, money. If I had more money, maybe that's the reason why I'm here. Holidays, maybe it's all about the holidays. Rebellion, if I'm here to rebel, that's just me. I live my life in rebellion. Religion, that'll give me a purpose for my life. Maybe it's religion, my hopes found in religion. Maybe it's education. The more education I get, I'll find more meaning of who I am. Power, if I can just get a bit more power, maybe that'll give me the meaning of my life. Maybe it's shopping. If I could just shop that bit more, I would have a bit more extra meaning to my life. And at the very best, what they find is little temporary fixes. Little temporary bits of joy, little temporary bits of meaning that come along every now and again and yet fizzle out and fade away. And they're still left with that big question. And I'm really glad because the Bible tells me that's exactly how it is. People don't know their meaning. People don't know their destiny. People have no idea why they're really here, why they've been put on earth. They don't know. And the Bible tells me that they don't know. It also says that God has done something fantastic to fix this situation. We're living in brokenness, the Bible says. We're living with lack of direction. We're living without knowing the purpose. And yet God has come and done something in our world, in the passage today we're going to see, to restore to us direction, to restore to us the meaning for life, to point us in the right world. And that's a fantastic message of hope when you live in a world of brokenness. Something that you're able to bring to people who are looking for something. Now, take a look with me at verse 5. It reveals the destiny of man, where we're going. It says, it is not to angels. Now, if you remember back to chapter 1, it was a message about angels and man, or angels and Jesus. No, Jesus is better than the angels. This is tying it back in again to angels. It's now speaking about us. So when he's saying, it's not to angels he has subjected the world to come. No, he says, it's us, human beings, us, that he subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. I want you to take notice that the destiny of man is always in a world to come. The destiny of man is in a world to come. Abraham, thousands of years before this, in Hebrews 11, verse 10, it says, Abraham was a man who was looking forward to a city whose foundations and architect and builder was God. His hope back then was of something to come. Our hope as Christians needs to be in something to come. And when you're sitting in the middle of a world that is full of sickness and sadness and pain and selfishness, depression and unfulfillment, brokenness, cheating, disappointment, aging, erosion and wrinkling, tiredness, abuse, sadness, rebellion, death, separation and grief, it's lovely to think that your hope is somewhere else. Amen. And in a world that is full of hope, a world that will never end, a world where there is continual joy, where there is no pain, no suffering. And you are going to be totally fulfilled in that world. Now, even as followers of Jesus Christ, there's a problem. We start to look at everybody else around us and what they're doing and where they're looking for their hope. and we start to do the same. We start to look for hope in this world, and somehow we start to think to ourselves that heaven should be right here on earth. Somehow we think to ourselves that I've come to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I've signed up to be cared for by God. I shouldn't have pain. I shouldn't be going through suffering. Me and my family shouldn't be experiencing sickness. We shouldn't have sadness. And then what happens is, if that's the way you're thinking, whenever it does arrive, which it will, always, it leaves you bitter. It leaves you thinking to yourself, well, where's God in all this? God promised me so much better. And do you know something? That is a question I ask people whenever they come for marriage classes. The first question I ask them, what's the main cause of marriage breakdown? It's unmet expectations. I thought she was going to be like this. I thought she was going to do that. I thought he was going to do this. I thought he was going to do the other. And then when they don't meet up to the expectation, they go off looking for it somewhere else. And that's exactly the same as sometimes as Christians. And yet the Bible does not promise you that. It does not promise you heaven on earth. It does not promise you heaven here and now. The next amazing thing that I see from this is that as followers of Jesus Christ, it's not that just that you're going to another world. That's amazing in itself. Look what it says there. It is not the angels that he has subjected the world to come. He has subjected the world to come to us. You're not heading out just to go into another world. You're heading out there to rule another world. The fact is that some people think that's the rule of angels, and yet chapter 1 and verse 14 tells you that angels are ministering spirits. They will continue to be ministering spirits. We are destined to rule with Jesus Christ. Let me read to you Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. That's Jesus speaking. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You're heading out into a world to sit on a throne with Christ. You will judge angels, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. And folks, when you ever start to think about that you're heading out of this world as the person you are to rule in heaven with Christ, I hope you feel the same as me. Totally inadequate. Totally minute. Totally thinking to yourself, well, why would God want me? Look what he says in the next verse, in verse 6. He quotes Psalm 8. He feels exactly the same. What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. You know, I have a chimenea out in the garden. Chimenea is a thing you burn wood in. And I get it up, and especially when you've done all the clippings around the garden, you've got all these branches. Friday night, cut it all up. Light the thing, fire lighters, and it's booming. And I'm sitting against the garage wall in the heat of that frosty, frosty night. Lovely. And you put your head back like that on the seat. Sky's clear. There's stars beyond the stars. You start to see satellites doing laps of the planet steadily floating across. And that place is huge. And when you're sitting there in that chair, what you realize is, I am tiny. This huge, massive universe. And in our world is a speck of dust sitting in the middle of this huge cosmos. If you go any way in any direction, you'll never come to an end. And our world's a speck of dust sitting in the middle of that. And you start to zoom in to the middle of that. And what you see is, you come out to the edge of Europe, and you see in the Atlantic Ocean a small, tiny, insignificant little island. On the top of that wee blob of an island, a pinhead, what you see is Northern Ireland. When you go in a little closer, you find the River Coyle. You work your way down to a town called Downpatrick, and there's a tiny speck of dust, you, sitting underneath all of that. And yet what God says is, listen, I am going to take you from that to rule with me, the one who made this all, by speaking. Folks, that blows my mind. Why would God care about me? Why would God want me to rule with him? Why would he want you? Why would he take such plans to bring you and make this your destiny? Verse 7 says, he made us a little lower than the angels. Now, if you've got your Bible open, what you'll see, if you look down at the very bottom, there's a wee letter on that word, little. And if you look at the very bottom, it'll tell you what it means. for a little while. He's made man for a little while lower than the angels. It's not always going to be like that. There will come a day when he will be elevated above the angels because he will be ruling with Christ. The fact is that God created each one of you to be kings and to rule. That's the way you were created. So anything less than that, you are going to be dissatisfied. You're going to be searching for meaning. You're not going to know what you're about. Look at verse 7. God has crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. If he puts everything under your feet, that's the imagery of a king. A king sits on a throne on an elevated plinth. When you come in, you're at feet level. You kiss the feet and you bow below the power. And that's what it's saying about us, that we were created in God's image and we have been created to rule. Listen to what our purpose was. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image. Let us in our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move in the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God made man to be king in a harmonious relationship. It's a beautiful thing. You've got man ruling over the earth, and the earth gladly provides a living for him. He didn't have to work. He goes up there and he sits on his throne. He rules over it. The animals are subdued to him. He comes over and the earth just grants you everything that you need. He's fed day and daily. He's got a relationship with God. He's totally fulfilled. Then what happens? Well, it says, verse 8, let me just finish with this first. It says, "In putting everything under him, God left nothing that was not subject to him." So that's the picture you've got, this harmonious relationship, the earth providing for man, man in relationship with God. He doesn't have to do a tap of work. It provides for him. He's the top. He's the kingpin. And what I want to ask you is that what you see in the world today? None of you have to work. It just provides for you of its bounty. You're the kingpin. You rule over it. You're a harmonious relationship. Turn on the TV, take a look at the news. Take a look at anything you see, and what you'll see is that it's not like that. Take a look at verse 8. "Yet at present, we do not see everything subjected to him." Something's gone badly wrong. What has happened is that our destiny is to rule and to reign with Christ. And yet sin enters the equation, and it restricts what's going on. Now, Adam, when he was acting as our representative, just the same way as Alex was your representative this morning. You should have all been eating dog food because of Alex, all right? But the fact of the matter is, Theresa May is your representative, like Adam was her representative. If Theresa May goes to war with North Korea, you are at war with North Korea, because that's the way it works. She is your head. And in Adam, whenever he came into this world, he sinned. And when he sinned at the head, sin came into the world. Every single person born from Adam after that was born physically alive and born spiritually dead, because our head brought us all into sin. He listened to the serpent. And what happened is, as a race of people, we fell. We became bottom of the pile. God cursed us and said, "Listen, death will enter the world the day you take from that fruit." And then on top of that, he gave extra curses out. He says to women, he says, "Listen, I'm going to greatly increase your pain in childbirth." And on top of that, he says, "You're going to have, your desire will be for your husband, and your husband will rule over you." And you can see the strivings of that out in the world today. Women striving for equality, because there's an unjust system, part of a curse. Women's pain in childbirth, still there, even though all the medication. Claire, I'll not go any further. But what I'm saying to you is, that Adam then is cursed. Adam then gets in turn. He says, "Listen, cursed is the ground because of you. Though through painful toil you'll eat all the days of it all your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat the food until you return to the ground. From it you were taken. From dust you are, and for dust you'll return." Adam used to have all his needs met. He just went and lifted and was fed at will. And now everything's working against him. If he wants to eat, he has to sweat and work for it. And what has happened is, Satan usurped the crown. Man comes in, he's given the right to rule. He's got the crown to rule the earth. And when he comes into sin, Satan takes the rulership. We go to the very bottom of the pile. We become bottom feeders. Let me read to you from 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So that reverses everything. We go from being top dog, what we're destined for, what we should be doing, we become bottom feeders at the very bottom, and Satan rules. And when you look out into the world, you see that everything's stood in his head. You ask any farmer here how hard they have to work to make the ground produce something for them. What do they have to do in order to do that? Fighting against weeds, fighting against infection, fighting against blight, fighting against other things in order to get a living, in order to feed you. Look at the world, the way it works. Tsunamis and hurricanes coming in and wiping out complete provinces, killing people, flooding people, destroying their homes. Earthquakes ruining entire villages, causing people to live in fear. Hunger and famine displacing millions of people as they're pushed about. Millions of people dying. Children suffering in the middle of all that. The animals no longer are subservient. We have to live in fear of them. You go out and you're getting stung by jellyfish. You're getting eaten by other things. We live in a relatively minor part of the world that doesn't have a lot of stuff. But nature's working against us. Trees dying out. Ash dieback. Dutch elms disease. Coming out with their different ways of going. Crops with different blights and different insects coming to attack them. Skin being stretched by gravity, hair falling out, bodies aging, cells multiplying uncontrollably in so many of us and trying to kill us. Diseases and bacteria are ravaging our bodies. And in turn, man then turns on the earth and he exploits the earth for financial gain. Not just for a living, he wants to make loads of money. He wants to have ultimate power. He destroys habitats. He pollutes rivers and oceans, enslaves and exploits his fellow man. If I can get a shirt for an extra fiver off, just to keep some poor sod in Bangladesh deprived and down with the wages that I can give them. If you go around and look at our whole system, everything cries out that we're cursed. Go into the hospitals, have a look. Go to the GP surgeries, have a look. The insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the battlefields, the addiction services, the police, the funeral homes, all of them cry out and say, listen, the world is under a curse. It's not the way it's meant to be. And yet I want to say to you that God has the most wonderful plan of restoration. God has a beautiful hope for you and for me. Let me read you verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. No Saturday night in 1980 would have been complete without an episode of the A-Team. And Hannibal used to bite the end of the cigar and spit it on the floor. And he'd say, I love it when a plan comes together. And you know, I love it when a plan comes together. And especially God's plan. This is absolutely amazing. Listen, he comes down and what he does is he says, listen, here's the curse. Your curse is death. The wages of sin is death, Paul tells us. And yet, someone who is outside of the curse is born into our system. Look what it says in verse 9. But we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He humbles himself and is born into the human system. He comes in as the only human being who's not under the curse. And he goes onto a cross and he gives his life and he dies for you and for me. He tastes death for you and for me. And he did all that so that you could receive your crown back. That you could receive glory and honor. Jesus, listen, the only way that we could be free from the curse, the only way that you and I could be free on our own was for us to pay the penalty. The penalty's death. To go out there and die. And if you want to come back, resurrect yourself because the penalty will be paid. And therefore you can enjoy God's, what he's given you. That's the only way you can do it. And I know plenty of people who have died. I know nobody who's in the business of resurrection. Nobody has those abilities. And yet with God, all things are possible. And so he steps into the world. He dies on a cross. He resurrects himself so that he can taste death for you, so that he can give you by grace. Look what verse 9 says. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The everyone that he speaks about there are those who will come to him by faith and put their trust in him. Then by grace, grace is getting what you don't deserve. You don't deserve it. He comes and he gives you a restoration of your crown. Romans 6, verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Folks, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are united with him. You're joined with him. That means that you die the death he died. And that means that you will experience the resurrection that he has experienced. You're united together with him. That means that you are born again. You have new life. The old you is gone. Folks, can I say to you something? February time, 15 years ago, 2002, I died. I took all of my sin and I said, God, listen, all my brokenness, I want you to have it. I want you to have me. I want you to have my brokenness. And the Bible says that when I did that, that I was united with Christ. I died, but I was alive then in Jesus Christ. My crown was restored 15 years ago. I've got hope and a future. When this balding, overweight body falls off, which it will, that it will be resurrected in a way that will be fit to sit in that throne with Jesus Christ because of what he's done. That is a living hope. That is the only hope that you can have that is real. You're living in the middle of a really broken world. You're living amongst people who are searching for meaning everywhere and anywhere. And yet that true meaning is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus tasted death for you. He wants to give you new life. He wants you to have your part in his resurrection, to rule and reign with him for all eternity, in a world that is full of light, full of hope, that will never end. Folks, that is what you were made for. Anything else than that won't satisfy. You're living in... There's people out there who will search for this for a lifetime and never find it. There's people who go out there and search for it and exhaust a lot of avenues and think that there is no hope. That's the conclusion they come to. And they check out early. This is the living hope of God that's presented to you this morning. To commit yourself to him, to die with him, and to have everything restored to you that you lost because of Adam's sin. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for a living hope in Jesus Christ. Father, there is no other hope. All other hope is false hope, your word says. Father, we look forward to a day, because we have come to Jesus, that we will reign with you forever. Father, do we deserve that? No, we do not. Are we worthy of that? No, we are not. Father, we, Lord, struggle to wonder how you would want us. What is man that you're mindful of him? Father, what are we that you would want us? And yet you elevate us to such an amazing position. Father, this is what we were destined for. Forgive us for those times when we hold on and run after things in this world, thinking that that's going to be the answer, that that's going to provide lasting satisfaction. Father, there is nothing in this world does that. There will be temporary buzzes, but Lord, nothing that lasts. And yet in Jesus Christ, we have the restoration of our crown, the restoration of our hope, the restoration of our destiny. Father, we look forward to that day when we will rule with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.